but we never really defined worship in and of itself. So I thought we might need to come back and take a look at that, because we looked at the how, and that linked back to the why, and that linked back to the fact that we were created to worship. So each of those are building blocks. We're created to worship. And then we talked about why we worship, because we were created to do that. And then the how, the big question that Sunday is, what will you worship? When we talk about the how, if we are built to worship, we will all worship something. So the huge question is, what will that be? A rock star, sports heroes, television stars, our parents, relative, our kids, our job. There's a lot of things. In fact, anything in our lives can be set up to be worshipped. Well, the big how or the big who is, or what is or who will we worship? And I hope the answer for you somewhere in there really is God. In fact, that's who we were created to worship. So now let's go back and take just a quick look at what is worship. How would we define that? One of my favorite theologians, if you will, he's since passed away, is Dallas Willard. He had just an unbelievable intellectual mind and unbelievable brilliance in being able to talk about the matters of God, his word, the Christian life. And I like the way that Dallas defined worship. And listen to this. You might want to write this down. Because when we don't understand what worship is, we can get all confused and think it's something that it's not. We can think that worship is, you know, coming in here and singing songs, or we can think that, you know, it's going out in nature and worshiping God as you watch a bumblebee fly through the air. What is worship? Well, here's the way Dallas defined worship. I really like this. Worship is, quote, the intentional turning towards God and ascribing to Him the glory and honor due to Him. I love that. It's a great, simple, working definition of worship. You might want to write that down. If you have a pencil or paper, you want to jot that note down. Worship is the intentional turning toward God and ascribing to Him the glory and honor due to Him. So here's the next thing he said. Right after he made that comment, then he made this next comment. He said, then worship causes us, or to worship, we have to orient ourselves, intentional thinking, focus, ascribing to God. We have to orient ourselves, or better yet, reorient ourselves to focus on God. And anytime we do that, that becomes then worship. When I intentionally set my mind on the things of God, I begin to move into a mode of worship. I begin to worship. So now I want to talk about just a little bit on the practical side. How do we then turn our minds to the Lord to ascribe to Him the glory and honor due His name? That's where I want to go this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, will You turn our hearts towards You? Will You help us understand how to do this on a private level, on a corporate level? Will You help us to worship and not have worship just confined to this building or confined to an altar at home that maybe we've made, the altar of the bed or the table, wherever it is that we have our times of prayer with You? May You expand our worship and our thinking on worship so that we can honor You, not just in little pieces here and there, but we can honor You always. We can ascribe to You always the glory and honor due to You. So Father, speak to us this morning, I pray, through Your word and through Your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, before we travel down this road too far, we need to stop and we need to take a little inventory. Worship takes place in our minds long before it can take place in our hearts. And I'm using the word heart as sort of the seat of our emotions. So that's another thing you might want to write down. It might be a good thing just to jot a note down. Worship takes place in our minds long before it ever takes place in our hearts. Another way of phrasing that, worship takes place in our minds long before it takes place in our emotions. So long before you can feel worship, it has to be going on up here. And this is what Dallas was saying. Dallas is saying we need to reorient our minds so that we can ascribe to the Lord the glory and honor due His name. So when I turn my mind towards God, my heart can then follow. But here's one of the problems. We pack our minds with all sorts of stuff, and sometimes we don't realize how much is getting packed up in here. Now, Michelle and I are getting ready to move, and a lot of you know that. And one of the things that happens when you move is you unpack your house. Well, first you pack everything up at your house, and then you move all that packed stuff up to your new house, and then you unpack it there. And here's what's sort of fascinating. Every time I've moved, I found this to be true. When we start packing up our house, we run into all sorts of things that we had long forgot were even in there. Anybody else? You think you have stuff in your house that you don't even know is in your house. But when you begin to move, then all of a sudden you have to deal with it. And we ran into this week, we emptied out an attic, and we brought that down into the garage. And literally, half the stuff that was up in the attic, we haven't touched since we put it up there when we moved into that house. Well, here's the deal. Our minds are a lot the same way. We pack a lot of stuff into our minds, into our thinking, and until we stop and actually think about what we're thinking about, we sometimes don't realize just how much we have packed in there. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a mental dump this morning. We're going to do a mental dump, or you call it a mental download. So in the techie world, it'd be a software dump or a software download. We're going to do a mental dump. I need everybody for just a minute or two, go find a piece of paper and a pen. You who are here, you can do the same thing. Go find a piece of paper. There's some scraps laying around. Grab a pen. We're all going to participate in this. You at home and we here, we're going to do a mental dump, a mental download. I have an extra service of order, or order of service. If somebody wants this one, wants a piece of paper to write on. I have not coughed and sneezed on this yet. COVID. Yeah, hey. All right, yep, some people found pins in the back. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you... Oh, wait. I got to remember to keep up with this morning, okay? So you got those quotes. The intentional turning towards God and ascribing to Him the glory due His name, Dallas Willard. Worship takes place long in our minds before it ever takes place in our hearts. And now we're going to do a mental dump or mental download. Here's how this is going to work. I'm going to throw a two-minute timer up here. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and in 2 minutes, I want you to write down everything that you can remember that you gave a lot of thought to this week. So not the nuances of the day, like make a right turn or a left turn at this stoplight or that stoplight, not the little nuances, but the things that occupied your mind this last week that you gave some time to thinking about. Now this is your list and your list alone. I want you to be honest about it. If you gave your mind to thinking about some things you shouldn't have been thinking, write it down. Nobody's going to look at this, you know, so you can shield it from your husband or your wife, you know. But just write everything down. We're going to do a mental dump. Write everything down that you can think of that you've been thinking about over the last 7 days. Now, I did this. I took some time this week. I went for 1 minute. So I started there just to see how much I could get down. And I found 1 minute went like that, and I had a lot more that I could have wrote down. So I'm just going to give you a couple of mine really quick that I wrote down in 1 minute. Fix, and some of it may not make sense because it's going on up here in my mind. Fix my brother's pond that I'm going to give to him. And then what are we going to do with them when they're here on Saturday? What are we going to eat? What are we going to go see the new house? Are we going to take him out to Valley City? How's he going to get his tin man that's here at the church? I began thinking about all the repairs on our current house, how to fix up our hot tub at the house because the new owners want that. What will I do for Adventure Club this Wednesday night? How can I remodel, facelift our new home? What are the inspectors going to find on our house and on the new house? What am I going to do where are we going to get the when and how are we going to get the church picked up for people coming back? How are we going to start services again? I need to call some of the seniors who don't have email, let them know what's going on. In less than a minute, I dumped all that down, things that are occupying, I mean spending time on thinking about. So here's what I do. I want you to do this. Write down all the things that's been occupying your mind, the big things, over this last week. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to do exactly that. So y'all ready? Here we go. I got a fun little timer up here. So if you really get bored, you can watch the timer too. You're doing it at home, right? Thumbs up there. I think sometimes we don't like quietness in our lives because we don't want to have to be forced to think about what we're thinking about. And so we turn the TV on, we turn the radio on when we're in the car, everything to silence the silence, to make noise, to make the silence go away, so we don't have to think about it. But I think every now and then we do need to stop and need to take inventory of what's going on in our minds. And here's why. If we go back to Dallas's understanding of worship, worship is a mental thinking. It is ascribing to the Lord the glory and honor due His name. And if my mind is so preoccupied with all the stuff of life, and look at your list, isn't a lot of that just stuff? That's all it is. If my mind is so preoccupied with all the stuff of life, sometimes I have a hard time then focusing or giving God the attention that is due His name. Got a new mic, and we're trying to work that out as well this morning. So that's why you're hearing some of the pshhts. We'll get that fixed up, hopefully, really soon. So now I want to talk a little bit. If we start to clear our minds and we start to understand what worship is, I now want us to go in and start talking about then how do we accomplish this? How do we go about ascribing to God the glory due His name? Now, there's a couple things we need to look at as we go in here, and we begin to understand what worship is. We begin to understand how this plays out in our lives. It may give clarity to what we're doing here on a Sunday morning, what you're doing at home, and we may find out that what we're doing really isn't worship. I mean, here's the deal. You can come to the church and you can ascribe to the Lord, glory to His name, and sing praises and, you know, get all emotional here at church, but yet never mentally and then down in your heart really give Him the glory that's due His name. And I was thinking about this week. If you don't like worshiping God, let's back up here. If you are not living for God during the week, in your day-to-day life, there's nothing magical that we can do here on Sunday morning to allow you to worship God when you come into this place. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't worship Him. And if you don't like God all during the week, how do you think that all of a sudden on Sunday morning you're going to be in love with Him? I was thinking about this. If you disobey God all week long, you don't want to live by His rules and His ways and His thoughts, you just sort of throw out the scripture all week long, and then you come in here on Sunday morning, you're not going to be able to worship. It's sort of like telling your dad that he's an idiot, he's a moron, he's a jerk, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm not going to listen to you, Dad, because you don't know anything. And on, you treat your dad that way all week long, and then all of a sudden, on Sunday morning, you feel a little mushy-gushy, you want a hug from Dad because, you know, you just get a hug from Dad on Sunday morning. It can't work. It ain't going to happen. So there's two huge components as we come into worship that we need to look at as to how we ascribe to the Lord the glory and honor due His name. And so let's take a look at these really quick. And I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I actually have no more notes from this point on. The only notes I have are pictures. I like diagrams. I like thinking through diagrams and visualizing things. So I'm just going to be using this. You're going to be watching this as I walk through it. And I just want to show you some diagrams to help you in your thinking. When it comes to worship, there are two huge realms or faces of worship that we all worship in. Now, we're all bent, we're all not perfect and balanced, so the chances are you're going to move one way or the other. You're going to have a bent in your style of worship. But these two forms or these two focuses or faces of worship happen for all of us. So the first idea, wouldn't you know? Okay, it won't advance the fun graphics on the individual slide, and so it may not even show you the whole slide. What a bummer. Yeah, somebody's going to have to go upstairs. And hopefully you can click through the... I did not realize that in easy worship, I can't show you the individual pictures on the slide. Now, this is going to get really technical, Michelle. If it does not work, then I'd like you to open PowerPoint, or I'm lost. So then just move PowerPoint over to that and we'll try. Okay, I'll start describing the first slide that you can't see. Okay, the two faces of worship. There is the me side of worship, and we call that private worship. And there is the we side of worship, the public side of worship. So there's two big faces of worship, we and me, or me and we, private and corporate, or private and public. And both of these, in Scripture, both of these forms of worship have to take place in the life of the believer. So both forms are important and necessary in worship. Me and we. Woo! Okay, we got it coming. So, and you can go to the next one, the both as well. Now, I have ran into a lot of people, it's sort of interesting, inside the church, a lot of people probably go clear over on the we side of worship. That's where they're focused, is corporate worship. We are in worship, and we got to go to worship. And a lot of people who attend church, because obviously they like being in church, sort of sometimes or can ignore the me side of worship. That it's all about the we, it's getting together. Worship, well, it can't happen at home. Worship happens when you go into the building, when you hang out with other people. And so we become balanced on that, or unbalanced on that side. But I've also ran into a whole lot of people who go clear over to the other side, and they're me. It's all about private worship. I don't need the church to worship God. I can worship God better out in the cornfields or in the forest hunting than I can in any church service. And so they completely throw out the we side. When I was younger, I ran into this, and I didn't know what to do with it, because I ran into some people who were seemed to be really good Christians, and then they would tell me, but I really don't need the church to be a good Christian. I was reading a book, James Bryant Smith, and it's sort of interesting. He zeroes in on discipleship. There's three books in the series, one of the series he wrote, the Good and Beautiful series, and it's all about discipleship, private, corporate, and small group or group discipleship. And so he has three books on each of those, Good and Beautiful Life, Good and Beautiful God, Good and Beautiful Community. And I was reading in his book on worship, and he started out one chapter with this whole story. I thought it was fascinating. He said that when he was a young pastor, just moved into his first job, the young guys, the new guys, always get the sort of icky jobs nobody else wants in the church. And so the senior pastor gave him the job of going through the entire church list and then marking the people who hadn't been in services for the last 3 years and then assigning him to call all of those people and find out what's going on and should they take them off the church rolls. And so he grabbed the list, he started going through it, and he said there's probably 100-some families that he had to call, and out of that 100-some families, only 4 families did he get a hold of that were still living in the town or not deceased or something radical hadn't happened in their lives. And out of those 4 people, 2 said that they're going to come back to church now. 1 family said, we found another church. And another lady just said, well, I just don't go. And so then he asked each of these families, could I come over and just sit down and have a visit with you? And all of them, you know, a couple of them said, you know, okay, or no, you don't need to do that. But the last lady who said, well, I'm still, you know, believing in God, come on over, Pastor. And so he went over to her house for tea. And he said he sat in her living room having his first cup of tea with the lady, and she just began describing to him her spiritual life. How great it was that she got up in the morning, spent an hour with God in the morning. She would then think about Scripture all day long. And in the evening, she would spend another hour with God in the evening. And she was just really tight with God. And she even had a room in her house, a prayer room with a little makeshift altar and things of God all over this room. She said, here, Pastor, come on over. I got to show you this. And took him into the room, showed him all the room. And he was impressed. He's like, wow, you know, this is really cool. And so by that point, they're up to their second cup of tea, and he goes back out in the living room, sits down with the lady, and they start carrying on the conversation again. And he said, so when are we going to get to see you back in church? And she's like, oh, no. No, I'm not coming to church. I don't need the church. I don't want the church. And the church actually makes my spiritual life worse than it does help it. So, you know, I just don't want anything to do with the church. But I'm glad that you came over, Pastor. And this young pastor, James Smith, said he walked away and he didn't know how to answer her. She seemed to be so spiritual, and yet she wanted nothing to do with God's church and God's people. I ran into that same kind of situation scenario when I was a younger pastor. And I'll be honest, I'm right there with Pastor Smith. I didn't know how to answer that. And now that I've been in ministry long enough, and now that I'm more understanding of God's Word and been digging into God's Word, I want to just say this straight up. That is a false narrative and a lie. Amen. It's a false narrative. You cannot be close to God if you are not close to His people. And so, I don't need the church. Oh, yes, you do need the church. You know what? A lot of the New Testament spends a whole lot of time talking about spiritual gifts, talking about loving one another inside the church, long before you can love people outside the church. The New Testament and Paul has an awful lot to say about how we love each other. And you cannot love each other if you will not participate with God's church, the other. Can't happen. God made us this way. He made us to worship, and He made us to be communal, and both of those things have to happen together. We fall in love with God. We worship God as we worship along with other people. So both sides of this are important. And this morning, as I was processing this yet again this morning, I just find this so ironic. Because a person who says, I love God, yet I hate God's people, heaven is going to be hell for them. Do you realize that? It's basically church 24/7 forever for the rest of eternity with God's people in heaven. And if you don't like God's people, heaven is going to be hell for you. Because that's what it is. All the time worshiping, joined together with God's people. And so that is a false narrative. The scriptures clearly present both are important. The me side and the we side. Now, before we go off and the people say, I don't need the church, be reminded, church, there's an awful lot of people that put all of their worship eggs into the Sunday morning basket, and they never reach out and touch God during the week. And that's just as bad. You cannot worship here if you are not worshiping at home and on your own as well. So let's dig into this a little bit. We're going to look at both of these here this morning. Oh, and there's a big, big no, this can't happen. You can't have one or the other. Both are important. So let's take a look at this. Let's first take a look, and don't go too fast for me, Michelle, on the next slide. And thank you for jumping in on that. Let's take a look at this. Oops, it went too far, way too far. There. Whoops, there. Okay. So how do I turn my attention towards God? And this is talking about the me side. How do I turn my attention towards God? So let's just walk through this because it's sort of building blocks as you go through here. How do I worship God on my own? So the first thing I'd like to say is it happens on a daily basis. So daily. 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 Oh, there we go. Daily. On a daily basis, we have small mental swings. Not huge things. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Small, medium, and large mental, spiritual swings. But on a daily basis, things happen on a small mental swing. So let's build on that a little bit. Let's go up one more here. So on a daily basis, I have just one thought about God. And so we're not earth-shattering here. We're not changing the world here. But every day, we should have one thought where we're just thinking about God. Something that gets into your mind about God. It may be that God is the God of the flowers. He said that He takes care of the lilies of the field. He can take care of you. So that means He's God of flowers. And though maybe today, I'm going to think that God is the God of the flowers. And every time I see a flower, if you want to see dandelions, we have lots of those, okay, out here on the property. Every time I see a flower, I'm going to think about that God is the God of that flower. He's the God of me. He'll take care of me. So just something small that gets into your thinking that you just dwell on throughout the day. It's not earth-shattering. It's just something that you think about. Now, I'll give you a for example, because this can go in many different directions. On Friday morning, I woke up, and the very first thing on my mind, and I don't know why, but the very first thing on my mind was the dad of a girl that I dated in high school. Name popped in my mind. Guy popped in my mind. Thoughts of him popped in my mind. I don't know why. It was the first thing that popped in my mind when I woke up. And all day long, I kept going back to that guy to bring him before God. I don't know why God put that on my mind. But all Friday, all throughout the day, his name kept coming up in my mind, and I just kept bringing him before God. I have no idea why. I may never know why. But all day Friday, I just kept saying, okay, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so, you know. So-and-so's dad. You know what's going on. I don't, God. Don't know why he's in my mind. And all day long, that was a thought that I just kept turning my attention, turning my mind towards God, giving God, ascribing to God glory and honor due his name. He put that name in my head. God wanted to do something. I don't know why. I don't know what. But God put that in there. And so I just dwelled on that or thought about that often during the day. Here's some ways that can also help you on that. Go into God's Word. Getting into the Bible. Let the Bible speak to you during the day. And just find that nugget. Now, as a church, we're working through a discipleship model, and our goal is one chapter once a day. One chapter once a day, every day. One chapter once a day. How many chapters a day? One chapter, once a day. That's it. Not tough. Most chapters, Rich just read 3 chapters in worship this morning. So some chapters don't take very long. Other chapters are really long. But some chapters are just really short. So you're not talking loads of time here. Just one chapter a day. Now, some of you use this model, and it's just as valid a model. One thought once a day. A couple people here in the church, their discipleship manner or their Bible study manner is they read until they find one nugget during the day. It may be one verse and they got it. It may be 2 chapters before they get something. But they find that one thought for the day and then they're done. And that's the thought then that guides them and leads them all day long. So getting into God's Word helps give you that thought. Getting into God's Word helps you turn your attention to ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. The Word can be a wonderful way to do that. Let's go to the next thought here. Set God in His rightful place. As I'm then thinking about God, as I'm thinking about His Word, as that's in my mind, running through my head, it begins to help me put God in His place in our lives. You know that when Jesus was asked, how do you pray, and He gave us the model prayer, the very first part of that prayer, the very first thought of that prayer, and if this is the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, there must be something to this being the very first thing. You know what the very first thing Jesus said you need to do when you pray? Put God in His place. Our Father, place of Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be whose name? My name? His name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be His name. What's Jesus saying? We need to put God where He belongs, in His place, in heaven. Think about this. God is way too grand to dwell on this earth. He's in here. He's part of this earth, but He doesn't dwell here. The dwelling of God is so much bigger and grander than this earth could ever handle. And so Jesus says, we got to remember that while God is very intimately involved in this earth, His dwelling, His place is much bigger than us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. And as I begin to think about God's Word, as I begin to let that thought rattle through my mind during the day, it should naturally begin to turn my attention to the place, the location, the grandeur of God. And then the last thing this helps us to begin to do is we begin to give thanks. We begin to give praise. And by the end of the day now, I'm thinking about God. I have Him in His place, and I'm thankful that He is the God of the flowers. I'm thankful that He's the God of other humans who may not even know Him, and He puts their names in my head for me to be praying about them throughout the day, and I begin to give thanks to the Father, thanks to God. Now, one of the things you see a lot around our church is a particular shape. Anybody have an idea of what kind of shape you see a lot in our church? Besides a cross. It's a model of what we do. It's presented in Scripture all the time. It's already sort of up there. A triangle. Ooh, Jody, teacher there. All right, a triangle. We use the shape of a triangle a lot in our church, and it's sort of interesting. If you go through Scriptures, there's a lot of triangles in Scripture. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I teach this in marriage. The best relationship's actually a threesome. It's God, husband, wife. Not just husband and wife. It'll ruin if you just go down that road. You got to have God in this mix. In the church, we have you, we have we, and we have God. Over and over again, we see this in Scripture, this idea of three. In the Old Testament, you had the people of God, you had the prophets of God, you had God. You then had the leaders of God, Moses. You had the people who had to follow God, and you had God. All over in Scripture, you keep seeing this triangle, this three-person thing. being. And I think it's because God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is in himself a triad. And so in the church, look what's happening here. We're building this pyramid again. Each of these things are building on one another, and they're all leading to another point in this triangle. So let's look at this next point in the triangle. Ta-da! One more. Others. Now, isn't this fascinating? And this is why I'm telling you, you cannot do God on your own. You have to be a part of the church. Over and over again, the scriptures tell us that the more I grow closer to God, the more my relationship with him grows and I get tighter with God, the natural consequence of that taking place in my life is I begin to fall more and more in love with God's people and humanity as a whole. Think about that. So if you're saying, well, I love God, I love him so much, and yet you hate people, and you hate God's people, you got a problem. Can't happen. Can't happen. Because the more I love God, Jesus says, if you love me, you will love who? Your neighbor. Paul talked about that. If you love Jesus, and yet you say, I hate my friend, I hate my church partner, I hate my people at church, then you really don't love God. You have a misunderstanding. You got an idea, but it's not the right idea. So Jesus, all the time, the scriptures tell us, the more I fall in love with God, the more I'm going to fall in love with other people. And so this is so true. If I love God, I'm going to naturally begin to love others. So then we go to this big thing. So that's that little thing there. You cannot, it's a both and. You cannot just love God and not like other people. So now let's talk about these. So that's the me side. These are things that need to be happening here. And by the way, if you are over here doing the me side, chances are worship's always going to be good for you on Sunday morning. If this is happening, then the other side just sort of naturally happens as well. So let's go on. Let's talk about the corporate side for just a minute here. So then connecting with others in worship. And this is sort of fun. You can read the Psalms. Rich already read all these Psalms, so I'm not reading them. The Psalms, by the way, the Psalter, is a wonderful instruction book as to how we should worship God. It actually leads us in worship, and it also gives us instructions on worship. So Rich read a bunch of those. And now, it's interesting, but Colossians 3:16 is the answer to John 3:16. Y'all know John 3:16? A lot of people have that memorized. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Colossians 3:16 is the answer to that verse. So John 3:16 talks about all that God did, and all we have to do is believe in him, and he took care of all the rest. But then Colossians 3:16 gives us the answer and says, this then is our response to that love. For God so loved, here's my response. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts towards God. And this is directed at the church. This is directed at the we, the corporate, the public life of the individual. So these are things that should be happening within the church when it comes to worship and growing in our relationship with one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. So here's all this. Let's break this out then. First, it happens on a weekly basis. A weekly basis. We're not going to get together all the time, every week, every day, you know. But on a weekly basis, we're going to get together. And we're going to come together for various things. And now there's two major ways that we are to come together on a weekly basis. And I'm going to give you these. First, and these are these, remember I talked about those mental swings. Daily on your own is just a little mental swing towards God. Now we're going to go to a medium mental swing and then a large mental swing. The next mental swing is a medium swing. And that happens as we join in or with a small group. Now, it doesn't matter. We talk a lot about small groups in the church because they are that important. It can be a group of friends that you're meeting with on a weekly basis. Maybe they have kids and you have kids and you get together on a week. It doesn't have to be a formal thing. But when we gather together with other believers, something happens when we're together. And what happens is now there is a medium mental swing. When I am with a group of believers, they help me in my faith. They may challenge me sometimes. They may push me a little further than where I'm comfortable to go. They may give me insight that I did not have or see in a particular passage of Scripture, if you're in a Bible study type group. But when we get together in this smaller group, it can even be a prayer group. When you get together, it begins to push you a little further than you would ever push yourself on your own, and you begin to have a medium-sized mental swing. This happens on a weekly basis. Next weekly thing, see, each of these are building, is corporate worship. What we're doing here, what you're doing out there in the Facebook land, coming together in corporate worship then allows for huge mental swings or major mental swings. Most people come to know Jesus Christ, and this is fascinating, most people come to know Jesus not on a one-to-one basis, but in a big group setting. Happens like at a Billy Graham crusade, or a youth camp, or a large gathering of the church. Why is that? Because there's something powerful when a large group of God's people come together. Something happens. There's a dynamic. Now, Jesus said, where two or three gather together in my name, there I am. So that small group, there Jesus promises to be. And then you begin to multiply that tenfold, 30-fold. You begin to multiply that out. You know, Jesus' presence just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So the bigger the gathering, the more that are there, the more power of Jesus fills that place. And that's where a lot of people make some major mental decisions, mental swings towards God. They change their thinking in a big group setting at a youth camp or Billy Graham crusade. Now here's the deal. I have really been missing that over the last few weeks, not being able to be together. And what's interesting, I know a lot of you like small church and you like the size of our church, but I also know that a lot of you, if things weren't weird with virus right now and it was just a normal week, if you came into the building and there was only 30 people here, I see it on your faces. You're all sort of like, oh, not a lot of people here today. If there were 100 people in the building, you'd be like, wow, a lot of people here today. What is going on? What's happening? There's a power. And I think it's the Holy Spirit and God's power magnifies when more people are coming together. Now, I think the church, just for you that like small church, just so you understand, I love the intimacy and connection of small church, and we must foster that and keep that as a church. But there's also something really cool when the church expands and there's more people here. By the way, if we got up to 200, I'd be tickled to death, and I think any more than that, I'll go a little bananas myself, you know. But there's something powerful when we come together in that bigger group. So it builds. Every day, I'm with God, connecting with Him. Once a week, I'm with a group that's a little bigger, where it's more intimate, and I'm connecting and having some mental pushes there from other people, other Christians. And then there's these big times when we get together where I may make some big mental shifts towards God and for God. And here's the resulting happenstance, if you will. When we begin to meet in that way, and God begins to shift us in that way, when I begin to worship God at all of these points along the way, by the way, you should be worshiping in your small group. If you get together with some other Christians on a daily basis or weekly basis, it should be some worship, because you're talking about God. You're turning your attention towards God. So all these places, on your own, in that smaller setting, on this larger setting, we should be worshiping in all those areas and ways in our life, places in our life. And when we do that, the natural result is that we start to fall more in love with God's people, and we will want to serve them. We'll want to help out my brother, my sister in Christ. We'll want to do things to help the kids at the church. We're going to talk about this in the next coming weeks as we talk about coming back together as a church. I brought it up with some of the parents yesterday. I'm going to be thinking about how we can process this with parents, with families, with kids' life. But one of the things we really need to understand, as we come back together, it's not about you, it's about we. And you may have to do some things, like not talk in the hallway, not because you have an issue. And by the way, let's just be honest, we all have differences of opinion on this whole virus thing, right? Who here would raise their hand and say, yep, we all probably have differences of opinion on the virus thing? I know in my house we do, okay? Face mask, to face mask or not to face mask, you know, to sneeze or not to sneeze, to yell COVID in the grocery store or not. I get in trouble for that one. I cough and, oh, COVID, COVID! You know, okay, whatever. So we have some differences of opinion here. But in the body of Christ, when we are worshiping Him, when we're turning our attention towards Him, I take a back seat and the we take a more front seat. And Jesus taught that very clearly, that we're to lay down our lives for other people. In a virus situation like this, you may need to do some things that you don't believe are important or you don't think are necessary, but it's not about you, it's about the we. And so we're going to sacrifice ourselves and our desires, our thoughts, to hold up the we. And there may be some others that may have differences of opinion. And we need to honor that. We need to respect that. And this is what happens. When I begin to grow closer to others and in love with others, it causes me to want to serve God more and serve others more. And eventually, that service doesn't just stay here. It then goes there. Then I come to a place, you know, it's sort of fascinating that Jesus did not say, okay, I'm going to lay down my life for those that will accept me and be nice to me. But Jesus said, I'll lay down my life for Judas, for Pontius Pilate. I'm laying down my life for the high priest Caiaphas. I'm laying down my life for the soldiers that are pounding the nails into my hands. I'm not going to pick and choose who I lay my life down. Jesus, or God the Father, I'm laying my life down for everyone. Jesus didn't pick and choose. And the more that we fall in love with God, the more that it causes us to love God's people, but then the more that it causes us to love even the least of these. The people who may never come to God. And you know what? When we get to that point, when we move into that realm, everything we do begins to be worship. Amen? Every time I serve my kid, every time I serve my wife, every time I give somebody an edge in front of me at the grocery store, everything I do that serves other people then becomes worship. It's not because of me, because I'm selfish, but it's because I am ascribing to God the glory due His name. I'm falling in love with Him. I'm falling in love with His people. I'm bringing Him glory because this would not be me on my own. I'm bringing glory to Him, and that is worship. So worship happens long up here before it ever happens down here. So what way this plays out then for church. When you come into worship and you walk out and say, well, it just wasn't that good this morning. The worship team didn't do a great job. You know, Pastor, what you said just didn't really connect with me at all. No, don't go there. Because if I was to ask you the question, how much did you worship God this week, and you tell me, well, I really didn't worship Him this week, then how dare you? How dare you? Because you see, these people put in a lot of work, and we want to be the best we can be. Now, if you say, Pastor, you know, I trust you, and I know that your life is solid, and that you're worshiping God on your own, and then you come and say, Pastor, you know, that something didn't go right. I'm going to listen. I'm going to really pay attention to that. But if you're not worshiping all on your own, then how dare you think that this is going to do it for you, because it never will. But here's the deal. If you're worshiping on your own at home and your connection with God is tighter and tighter, you're actually going to come in here and regardless of what happens, you're going to worship the Father, and you may actually help worship be better in here. Praying for these guys, praying for me, praying for the other people sitting next to us. You see, we can't just throw worship over in this corner, and I think sometimes we do that. I got to go to a concert, or I got to go to the church for, you know, a worship team concert, and that's how. No, worship is so much bigger than that. It's a we and a me, and we have to do both sides equally. We have to be working in both of those realms, and when we do, here's what we're doing. We are practicing for heaven, and that's what we're going to do for eternity. We're going to worship God on our own, throwing our crowns at His feet, but we're also going to be joined with all the saints, all the other people, all the other Christians that are in heaven, and we're going to be all throwing our crowns at His feet together corporately as well. So this is really practice, what we're doing here. So worship, what is worship? Ascribing to God the glory and honor due His name. What's worship required to accomplish that? A reorientation or an orientation towards God, where worship happens long up here, long before it happens down in here. And when we start to connect those dots, our worship's going to go to a whole new level, not just corporately, but privately as well. Let me pray that this week you will worship God, not just next Sunday, but you'll worship God this afternoon, Monday morning, maybe next Tuesday, maybe on a Friday morning. May you worship God all week long. Dear Heavenly Father, as we move out this morning, that's my prayer, that we will be people of worship, not just worship in a building here, not just worship with music, the worship team singing, but we will begin to find ways to worship you. We may have those moments all throughout our day. And I pray that happens, that we will daily, throughout the day, begin to just mentally, just in little ways, turn our attention towards you. And may this entire week, 24/7, over this next week, be a concert of worship to your name. May we honor you and glorify you at all points throughout this week. Now, we may have our struggles. We may have our things come up that pull us from you, God, and I apologize that for ahead of time. Forgive us of that. But God, send us your Spirit to pull us back on track, that we will move back towards giving you our attention to ascribe to you the glory that is due you. And Father, may we take a back seat to all of it. May we put our brothers and sisters in front of us, and ultimately may we put you at the head of the line in front of all of us. May we ascribe to you the glory and honor due your name. May we give you praise and glory. Thank you, God, for this chance to gather together online and in person to worship you. And I do pray, God, that you give us wisdom to know how to come back together, to start gathering back into this place. May you give us wisdom to do that well and safely. And Father, may we glorify you even in the way that we come back into worship over the next couple weeks. Now, God, move with us, go with us, be ever present with us as we move into our week, I pray. Amen. Well, hey, I thank you all for being here in worship this morning. It was nice seeing some of your faces here. Eventually, we'll see some more faces here. Glad to see you out there in YouTube land or Facebook land as well. You're always welcome to share the video, pass it on to your friends. And as we start to get back together, we look forward to seeing you again, but bring a friend with you when you come. It'll be fun to have a few more faces and new faces in this building as well. Well, God's blessings upon your week. May you go and may you honor God through all of your week, 24/7 this next week. We'll see you next Sunday.